see things that no one else would ever see unless there had been some people able to take. I'm still looking at these stairs. It just boggles my mind.
They're
just
something
amazing.
Else, aren't they?
That's the concrete works, the amount of concrete put into this, enormous. Okay,
yeah.
This article written by Paul Stonehill is good. I'm going to move ahead a little bit rather
go
than
ahead.
Go through the preliminaries and just pick it up. And I don't know how to pronounce this, M-I-E-D, Mead or Mide, Z-Y-R-Zer-Zeki, Mide-Zer-Zeki, Fortified Region, or MFR, consists of reinforced concrete lumps of bunkers, enormous steel domes, and kilometers of concrete poles. These are anti-tank barriers called such and such. They're all over the place. About 21 of the bunkers were joined by a subway system at a depth of between 30 to 50 meters. 50 meters,
yep.
150 feet deep.
Actually, more like 170.
So for those of you who...
3.3.
There you go. 170 feet deep. For those of you who think that the U.S. hasn't been building underground for the last 75 years, you better think again. We've
probably
been
using
all.
German technology.
I'm sure they learn everything they can from Germany. There is a labyrinth below the MFR. That's the area where this incredible subway system and tunnel system is, that has been left largely undisturbed, save for the bats. Bats! The main tunnel, the main traffic road, there's one main tunnel, extends down along the north-south line of that geographical area. It is basically an axis of tunnels. There are side tunnels that branch from the main tunnel and connect with the so-called structure. Concrete stairs lead from the side tunnels to the surface part of the structure. Panzerwerk, a bunker. The bunkers are on the surface where they were equipped with war domes. These are steel-walled, 25 centimeters thick.
Yeah.
Steel. The bunkers contain machine guns, flamethrowers, grenade launchers. There were stock rooms, barracks, ambulances, a ventilation system, an engine room. The underground portion of the MRF contained a lighting system, ventilation, sewage system, and communications. The structures were connected through the use of an electric train.
Ah, that's how it was going back and forth without soiling the ceiling.
Lionel. The multi-storied concrete corridors may still hide, this is 2002, secrets of the German nuclear weapons research and development efforts at the close of World War II. The Red Army liberated this area from the Germans in January 1945, and it remained in Soviet hands until 1993.
I'm having trouble understanding that one, Jeff, if I can interrupt. How could it be in Soviet hands until 1993 when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991?
Apparently, Paul didn't want to give that up.
So. I was in Moscow, December of 1991, when it collapsed.
Mm-hmm. Could be a typo.
Okay.
All right. According to them, the Soviets, there are still mysteries pertaining to the Mide-Zerzeki Fortified Region, the MFR. There was a Jewish presence in there, too. A cemetery was established there in the mid-17th century, and it was vandalized during World War II, and there are no gravestones or structures there now. There was a ghetto in the same area during the war. Some Jews of Mide-Zerzeki were transported to the such-and-such ghetto and on September 26, 1942, remaining Jews from the Biala-Podlaska town ghetto in the Polish Lublin province were deported to the ghetto and I'm trying to find this next part about the tunnels. However, we are concerned with the mysteries that have been remain locked in the underground structures built by the Third Reich. Unfortunately, we do not know what information about the Reagan Wurmlager is in the possession of the Office of State Protection, the Polish Intelligence Agency. We do not know if any findings have been shared with the Americans, NATO, or Germany's intelligence service, the BND. An examination of the Soviet sources is in order, and here we may have more success. Information from some Russian sources. The territory was under the control of the Soviet armed forces stationed in Poland until 1993. Harry points out that's 2 years too long. Only the Soviet military administration was able to investigate the odd reinforced concrete SS city discovered shortly after the end of the war. Yet the Soviets failed to undertake any systematic exploration of the Reagan Wurmlager. The Kremlin sent no instructions to do so, and the local commanders saw no need to volunteer their efforts. But there was one Soviet military officer who wanted to uncover the secrets of the underground German bunkers, Alexander Liskin. He descended into the tunnels of the Reagan Wurmlager, collected information, testimonies, and legends of the area, and shared his findings in an article published in the Russian newspaper such and such and such. I researched other Russian publications such as Blank Blank, He's talking about all the research he did. Now on to the next page. You can take your time through this, of course. Open sources, etc. Some current German sources were helpful for the names of towns and villages. The Soviet troops stationed in Poland formed the so-called Northern Group of Forces, the NGF. That was established in June 1945. Until 1956, there were no legal regulations regarding the presence of Soviet troops in Polish territory. Soviet soldiers and the property utilized by them were beyond any control of the Polish authorities at all. Later agreements between the two countries regulated their legal status and movement. I'm trying to find more information here. Okay. To escape being surrendered, the SS forces in the MFR began a hasty retreat. They disappeared in a matter of hours. But where did they go? The only road in the area had already been captured by tanks of the 44th Guard Tank Brigade of the Soviet Army. The tank battalion and the brave Soviet commander, Major Alexei Karabinov, posthumously awarded the Hero of the Soviet Union Medal, pierced the minefields surrounding Reagan Wurmlager. He burned in his tank there in January 1945. Etc. Liskin's investigation. Now, I think we're getting there. An artillery regiment located in the vicinity and a security official, I'm not good with Russian names, Teliutko, who supervised the area for the MFR authorities, represented the Polish military forces in the area. They transferred the territory to the Soviet forces for temporary use, which lasted until 93. Again, Harry says 91. The Soviet commanders immediately undertook a scrupulous reconnaissance of the area. They made discoveries that amazed even the battle-hardened Soviet military. First, near the lake, which I think we can see on that map, the Soviets found a reinforced concrete box that contained an isolated outlet for an underground power cable. The cable carried 380 volts at the time the Soviet engineers studied it. Then they found a concrete well that stored falling water. I guess that's rainwater. At the same time, reconnaissance discovered that the underground power communications came from with an M. But the engineers also believed that there might be a concealed autonomous electrical power station, its turbines moved by water falling into the well. So it was rainwater. There were rumors that the lake was somehow connected to the numerous nearby reservoirs, but the brigade lacked the resources to confirm all of this. Kazicha was then...
Or whatever.
What? Whatever.
I think it's pronounced Kazika, but what do I know?
Kazika. All right. Kazika was then, as it is now, a quiet place, peaceful and full of the aroma of the nearby forest. But rumors about the lake around Liskin's curiosity aroused Liskin's curiosity. He explored the area with the aid of local Soviet officers. After Liskin took a boat ride around the lake, he discovered even more mysteries. From the eastern side of the lake, he saw powerful hills overgrown with young trees. They contained artillery of the 1980s. About, where am I? Did I miss something?
No, the artillery Capignones. Capignaris.
Okay. All right. He had secretly explored the underground city in the 1940s and 50s. Dr. Podbelski told local inhabitants that the area was first built by the Germans in 1927, but the really intensive construction began in 1933 on this complex after Hitler came to power. In 1937, Hitler reportedly visited Reagan and Wurmlager himself, arriving by the underground subway, electric subway. It was then that the city was turned over to the Wehrmacht and the SS. There were some secret passageways from the Reagan-Wurmlager to the strategic underground storage places, and a plant located in the area of Vysoka and Pesky villages, some 5 kilometers from the lake. Lake, whatever, is a mystery to this day to be solved. It is as deep as 20 meters, that's 65 feet, in its eastern end, and it was there that... No, it was there that sometimes in the summer, Soviet officers who were fishing in the lake could discern something in the murky bottom that looked like a hatchway. They nicknamed it the Eye of the Inferno, and this eye seemed to be closed, shut. What was the purpose of the hatch at the bottom of the lake? Was it a Kingston valve to flood the underground city in case of an emergency? That's logical. But if the city was not flooded, the underground city, then it might have been kept intact for some other purpose and may contain unimaginable secrets. Somebody else found many intriguing sites around the lake and in the forest. Among them were pillboxes containing machine guns surrounded by minefields, barbed wire, deadly traps. He found ruins of military structures, remnants of the hospital for the elite SS forces. But throughout the period of Soviet control of that territory, no comprehensive and detailed exploration of the Reagan-Wurmlager has taken place. Obviously, the Soviets and the Polish government at the time would attempt to limit access, to keep people away, to prevent unauthorized movement to and from West Germany. To expect anything less from them would be highly naive, and yet there are no records that I know of to provide pertinent details about such Soviet security measures or actions.
Let me interrupt here.
Yes,
I don't
please.
See how they could be concerned somebody would use that tunnel to get from East Germany to West Germany, since the tunnel did not go to West Germany.
It goes north to south.
Yeah, it's all on the eastern side of the Oder River, which is the new boundary line between Germany and Poland.
It's just somebody's blowing smoke there.
This guy is, you know my opinion of him.
Yeah, I know. This has been written very carefully to, there is some misdirection quite clearly here in this writing.
Yeah.
I will leave it at that. In 1943, the secret Nazi program of V-1 and V-2 rockets became a top priority because Germany was beginning to lose the war. Germany built several fortified V-2 rocket launch sites in France. The most impressive and well-preserved ones are located in the northern part of that country. One was at Watton. After the Allied bombing and damage to the Watton bunker site on August 27, 1943, the German army looked to the quarry such and such as an alternative prospect for V-2 underground operations. Here, inside and around the old mining quarry, the Germans began work in October 1943 on the second of several giant hardened bunkers intended for launching 40 to 50 V-2 rockets in England a day.
Yeah, but one wonders, you wonder why would they fire them from that far away when they when Germany, you know, the western part of Germany was hundreds of miles closer to England, and before D-Day, they could have been using the launch sites that were already built in western France.
I think this is, there's some fiction in here. Let us briefly compare the Polish and French Nazi-designed underground constructions. The dimensions of the dome were immense, 71 meters in diameter. This is underground.
Yeah. 71
That's 200
meters
feet across.
Yeah.
It's almost like a football field, two-thirds of a football field.
Mm-hmm.
5 meters thick. A series of connecting tunnels about 7 kilometers of underground galleries would be excavated beneath the dome and hillside. The site plans included galleries. Switch pages here. I think I'm on the last page.
In the chalky plate
for storage of the rockets, the fuel supply. They were moving. They were going to do it. A liquid oxygen production facility, housing for the garrison, and electrical generators. There were paths leading from the outside through rocket height doors into the interior assembly area. Inside, the rockets could be serviced and assembled safely, shielded from Allied bombing by the massive dome and the chalk hill as well. A small railway supply tunnel led to all of the underground works and a large octagonal chamber more than 100 feet under the dome. A special SS battery of V-2 troops was planned to run the operations at the cupola. The German plans included building a V-2 guidance bunker and some eight kilometers south. Ultimately, yes.
At Roquetois, that's where they were, 8 kilometers south.
So good with these languages.
Lucky guess. Yep. A little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know you spoke Irish. You were Irish.
Granddad was born in Ireland.
I know.
But that was not Irish. I think it was Swahili. I'm not sure.
All right. I'll wrap it up here. Ultimately, a single rocket, V-2, was launched from the nefarious cupola.
Nefarious? That's evil.
See what I mean. It was forgotten until after the British Army conducted an investigation in 1944. But nowadays, the site has become a museum and contains a fascinating display of a V-2 rocket and a display featuring the German secret weapons. Epilogue. What is the connection between the two Regenwurmlagers? What happened to the Totenkopf Division SS forces in the MFR region? What is hidden in the sealed tunnels in the underground SS city? The sealed tunnels, suggesting at least in 2002, no one had gone in there. Would there be some heretofore undiscovered German looted artwork or treasures? Or some, there's that old, same old thing. Or some German secret weapons, R&D projects? Has the city itself been put on ice for some future use? Did the Polish government, I imagine the Poles are thinking now that since we're rather apparently confronting a potential nuclear war that this underground complex might be of use.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. That's enough. So the whole article's there if you want to read it. There's some more detail. But it is an absolutely fascinating area, which again began construction in 1927.
Yeah, apparently so. This whole complex was part of the Ostwall, the Eastern Wall fortification. So I guess back in the 20s, isn't that when the French were building the Maginot Line?
Correct.
And before that, the Germans had the Siegfried Line. So, you know, maybe they were building, who knows. It's a cinch.
Well, the idea of a rocket launching facility under this huge dome, which could be opened up, the cupola could be opened, and the rocket can... Cupola is a little round thing on top of a dome. And
yeah, a lot like our old missile silos, I would imagine.
Same idea.
Yeah.
50 V2s a day.
Yeah, that's a lot of them. Hold on a second. Good night, son. God bless you. Keep you safe. Dad loves you. I'll be there in a minute to tuck you in. My son is, he just woke up for me to go tuck him in and say goodnight to him.
You want to go do that?
Okay, well, you go ahead and keep talking. I'll keep the phone with me.
Yeah, you go right ahead. Go tuck him in. Please.
He's picture
number 14. Yes, I understand. Picture number 14. You see, the center would be for water to accumulate and flow slowly. I'm sure the sides are angled slightly to slope down toward the center. And if you look on the each side, you'll see flat pieces, and then underneath you'll see openings. Well, that's where they would run their cabling for electrical, telephone communications, and so forth. And then they would put basically steps or areas you could walk on if you needed to above them. So that's
right.
Where
any
they would
of the tunnels we had
cables.
Been in, Jeff, they had the electric cables along the walls, you know, in brackets, but on one side or the other of the walkway, they would have about a 8-inch wide strip going down the whole length of the walkway with cement pieces on top of it that you could pick up and get in. And that was for your water
access.
Pipes.
Sure.
Boy, yep.
And
these
the center,
guys were engineers, let me tell you.
No. See, the center is to collect water and drain it out. That's what that was. I'm sure the sides were slightly angled. It doesn't take much of an angle to get water to go where you wanted to. So it would slowly go into the center and then funnel its way out. Look, this is just incredible to me. And this, you got to remember, this is the 1930s. Imagine what the U.S. has hidden underneath all of us here in the U.S. and other countries as well. They're all burrowed deep underground. Deep.
I would imagine.
Have the same kind of thing that the Germans did, 60, 70 years before everybody else, as usual.
Yeah.
Okay, picture number 15. Harry, there's that center area, which is probably to collect water, if there is any, or and or to run cabling.
Yeah, it could be. I've not been in that part of it, so I couldn't say for sure.
Do you think on the right side, if you look at those, there's three squares. They have a black outline.
Black
and
border,
red.
Yeah.
That looks almost like wartime art. That's Third Reich colors.
Yeah, black, white, and red. I don't know. We don't have a good enough shot at it. Right across the walkway from that on the left side, there's something else that looks like it could be part of that that genre or whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if those were now defaced, but painted images of... Perhaps Hitler, or who knows?
Yeah.
There's three people there, I'd say. There's three.
Unless you get a shot at it, all you can do is guess.
Yeah. Okay, number 16. These are great.
We want to get back over there for another patrol, but, you know, now we got this monkey flu coming along. Jesus.
They're not going to give up, Harry.
No.
Monkey flu, they're going to tweak the avian flu. That's going to go next. They're going to keep people so confused, so disheartened, so angry, if they still are angry.
Beaten down.
Wow.
However, we ain't all beaten down. We ain't all believing this crap.
No. Well, monkeypox is real. Bird flu is real. And we know now we have a story that we'll cover with Erica next hour about how apparently Fauci and Gates, I think it was Fauci and Gates, were involved in gain-of-function research to make the avian flu more pathological and easier to spread. Okay.
Is that the same Erica that I talked to while I was in the hospital?
Yes.
Oh, nice lady, nice lady. You guys were pretty doggone solid in my corner when I was very close to dead when I went in the hospital. And I remember she talked to me and you were bitching out my nurse. I remember that much of it. But
we both know what would have killed you, Harry, and if they'd have given you the usual treatment, you would not be on the program right now.
Right. They gave me that monoclonium whatever stuff.
Monoclonal antibodies.
Yeah. And by late that evening into the night, they kicked me out of the hospital. But then 3 days later, I think it was, I was back in, and they put me in there for 5 days because I had pneumonia. Right. And kicked me out again, and then a few days later I was having chest pains. I told my wife it was nothing. No, she called my VA doctor again, and they said, get him to the hospital. Well, turned out it was only pulled muscle, thank God. I don't get heart attacks, I give them. But no, tell Erica, I said, hey.
I will, thank you. Very smart lady.
Yeah.
Okay, number 16.
Yeah, look at the size of that tunnel compared to them people in the circle. Figure them to be maybe 6 foot tall. Calculate the height of the ceiling, for Christ's sake.
Imagine the amount of work, the forms, that for those of you who are in construction or no construction, how they had to form up, and I'm sure there's rebar in that concrete, or it would be falling down by now. In places.
And I just had an idea flash into my head. What'd they do with all the dirt they took out of here? I mean, they took a lot of dirt out of a lot of tunnels. Where is it?
Thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Hmm.
I think they mentioned that there was a hillside nearby with lots of trees on it, newer trees. Maybe they built an enormous hill with it.
It would have had to have been one hell of a hill. That there was so many millions.
How many miles again, Harry?
I think it was 60 kilometers.
Billions, the main line, which you're looking down.
Billions of tons of dirt.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the main line, I'm looking at it again here. Let's see. Yeah, 2 kilometers on that yardstick. Yeah, that's tremendous. That's a
I
lot
wonder
of
what the I wonder what the type of subsoil, deep subsoil was. Was it full of rocks? Was it like granite? Was it
down
whatever.
That deep? It would probably be granite. Looking back to my old days in my geology class,
that's astonishing to me.
Yeah,
that they dug that out of there, Harry, and then they tracked it out
done.
With their trains.
Yep.
What'd and now they have. But listen. Now they have tunnel boring machines, which you cannot find much information about. They're top secret.
Right.
They can go through anything.
Yeah.
And they
and
have
they're
tunneled.
Remote controlled.
They have tunneled from coast to coast in this country. They have maglev rail, and God only knows how big of an area they've opened up in many places for literally small towns.
Yeah.
This is true.
when I was living back in Chicago, back in the 60s, I think, oh, there was a big thing in the news about the deep tunnel in Chicago. They had a tunnel, I think it was like 300 feet down, and I don't know what it was there for. I don't remember. I was not interested in tunnels, but it was on the news all the time. Then suddenly you don't hear any more about the deep tunnel. I don't know what it's
for. So it wasn't built. It was discovered.
No, I think they were building it in Chicago.
Interesting.
This was in the 60s.
Well, here, let me try this on. When tunnels have been dug here with tunnel boring machines, whatever, sometimes they'll intersect with another tunnel that was here long ago. Long ago. So this is not the only time we've been around this. Now, if you look at photo 17, tell me that wall straight ahead does not look like it's got bricks on it and it looks like it's been sealed closed.
Could be. I don't know.
Look at it. Look how.
Yeah.
Why would they build something? Let's say that's 4 feet deep. Look on each side, left and right. Why would they build that? That goes
and then
on.
Brick it up. Yeah.
That goes on. That goes on. And that has not been opened up. You and I are going to go and open that up.
Let's go. Bring your hammer and chisel. We can get it.
I would leap at the opportunity to do that.
Fantastic going in these places.
Yeah. Maybe Elvis is in there.
Or Jimmy Hoffa.
God, but that, I'm telling you, that looks to me exactly like something that's been bricked over.
Right. It reminds me of the old Edgar Allan Poe story, The Cask of Amontillado, where some guy didn't like his rival and had him over and got him drunk and put him in a little alcove and bricked him up while he was alive. Montressor and Fortunato. Jesus, I remember my old college literature. Holy cow.
Wow. Well, they don't even teach literature anymore, I don't think. They teach porn and transsexuality.
Yeah. They don't do that here.
Number 18.
Yep. Another tunnel
split.
Division.
Yeah.
Intersection, whatever.
Electric train going left, electric train going right.
Yep.
Stewardesses, the whole works.
I don't know if they had stewardesses, but...
No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Who knows? They might have for the higher-ups. But you notice the floor has water on it. I mean, it's not deep flooded because it's only maybe over there on the left side.
If that were accessible to me here, I would attempt to buy it.
That 60 kilometers long, that's a lot of property.
Oh, no, I don't need 60. I'd take one kilometer.
Oh, okay. They're having problems with some of these bunkers and tunnels. There's one, I can't remember which one it was. I think it's in Austria where... You know, people were building homes on after the war. These tunnels were abandoned. People were building homes on the property up above, and now suddenly they're getting that sinking feeling because the tunnels are starting to collapse.
Got it. Well,
and one of the main tunnels, what the hell is it? The Crystal, Berg Crystal. They've filled in. About 85% of Berg Crystal filled it in with rock, stone, concrete, and cement.
There was a tunnel?
Yeah, Berg Crystal. Berg means mountain, crystal means crystal. But there was a huge tunnel complex in there. And
where is this, in Poland?
No, this one is down Austria or Germany, somewhere down around there, Bavaria, Austria, I think. And that was, I'm not positive. But that was where they had the machinery, the equipment, whatever, to make the Zerum 525, which was needed for the so-called Nazi bell.
Got it. Don't say Nazi. German.
I know it, but that's what it's called. Die Glocke. People don't know what is Die Glocke. But the colloquial term is Nazi bell, but I think that's the new N-word, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
According to the Spitlickers.
All right. Well, take a look at that genius construction work, brilliant engineering, extraordinary in the 20s and 30s, and in during the war time. Let me take a moment to send best wishes to Dick and Mimi Allgaier, both of whom have been stricken with whatever it is, and it is not pleasant. They're doing okay. They're still not well. They're getting better, but we are obviously
I didn't know Mimi was down with it, too. I knew Dick was, but no, Mimi's got it, too.
She works. She's a manager of a Korean restaurant and brought it home.
Oh, boy.
She was sick for days, and then Dick got it.
So, yeah, I knew Dick was down with it pretty hard. He's a good man. He's a very good man.
Yeah, I talked to him multiple times, and he's slowly getting better, but it's been real rough.
Yeah.
So, again,
hey, slowly getting better is better than not getting better at all. There's a little redundancy in that statement, but
No, that works. We should also give our best wishes to our friend who is living somewhere down south. And
in Mangoland.
Yeah, yeah. And thank him for all of his wonderful support over the years.
You're not kidding.
So, okay. We're looking at tunnels in Poland, one enormous complex, and there's a much larger one called Owl Mountain, which Harry and I have covered in the past in other programs, which you can go back and listen to, and hopefully the pictures are still there. But if not, look up Owl Mountain in Wikipedia, and you will find a fairly reasonable summary of it. Fairly reasonable.
That's Eulengeberg, Owl Mountain, Eulengeberg. And that place, last I heard, it was still off limits and controlled by the Polish military and had mines all around it that have not been cleared. But they even had a factory in there, I believe, towards the top of the mountain where they were building ME-262 jet fighters, rolling them out the side of the mountain onto a little tramway to take them upstairs and launch them from the flat top of the mountain.
Exactly right.
Those guys in Germany, no matter what the problem, they found a solution quickly.
I've always personally believed in that there's always a way to remedy or rectify a problem if you really devote yourself to it.
And as I learned in my business studies, it's easy to solve problems once you can identify the problem.
Right. Well, I think the German genius partly was exactly that. They could understand the big picture.
Yeah.
They weren't caught up in the, you know, in the micro. They looked at the macro, and they understood. So they were able to.
Yeah, well, they
things.
Sure did. They built one. I didn't think there was that much cement in the whole world, but they.
No, where did they get it? I mean, that amazes me. Just that in and of itself is amazing.
They found some places down, some bunk underground places down in Bavaria, I think, just hundreds and hundreds of tons of cement in bags that never got used. But there
I wonder
was
where the electric rail system, the trains went. Do you know if the Poles were, I'm not knocking all Poles, if the Polish people were smart, they'd clean this up, it would be a world money-making tourist attraction. Put electric rail back in it, clean it up, paint it. Come on. Do some history.
Right, have some photos of what it was back in the day.
Well, look at the Eagle's Nest. What they make there. So it's just a little restaurant area up there.
Oh, yeah, geez. Man, I wish I had the money they made in just one day's work. They can put 40 people into that elevator if you cram them in tight. Figure 20 people easy, and it makes the trip in 1 minute up and down. 20 people up and down, up and down. And you got to get a ticket way down below that.
And it's, what is it, 100 meters each way or something?
Well, you have to go way up the mountain on these specially geared buses, but you have to buy a ticket down there by what used to be Spears House, which is now Enlightenment area. We'll pass on that. But anyhow, it cost, I don't know what it is now, but when we went there the last time before the Kung Flu virus, it was about $25 per person. So you put 20 people on the elevator times $25 a piece, and what's that, $500? I don't know. My math was never that good. And they go upstairs.
That's $600.
Okay, whatever. But when you get off the bus up there, you walk down this long tunnel. It's about maybe 100 meters long. Then you get on the elevator. You go up another, yay many meters, whatever. And then you're at the Eagle's Nest, or as it's really called, the Kelstein House. And so you've already spent $25 to get there. Then you're going to have lunch there, which is another $25 to $50. Then you're going to buy souvenirs and stuff. So by the time you're done, each guy on that elevator, each person, has put $100 into their cash register. And 20 people at $100 a piece, what's that, $2,000?
Mm-hmm.
Every minute that elevator goes up.
Well, people are stupid. They just
what
don't
can I say? That was not
politics.
Torn down because it was making so much money. It was not Nazi. But everything
I
else
don't understand.
There was Nazi, so they tore it down.
Right. I don't understand how they drilled straight down that mountain like that. Straight down to put that elevator
shaft in. Did
they
drill straight down or did they dig straight up? I don't know which.
Jeez. I wouldn't know either. That's a good question.
Whatever.
Okay, let's look at picture number 19. All right, I don't know. This is, again, you're looking left and right. There's a rail line going off to the right. And obviously there was, look at the size of that opening going left.
Mm-hmm.
See, it could
probably
be a world-class tourist attraction. Could
yeah.
be.
Yep. It would be a moneymaker, that's for sure. But then you have people like the Spitlickers popping up and say, you want to go there? You're glorifying Hitler and the Nazis. You've got to be a horrible person. That's basically what they think of me, because I take people over to these places. I go. They call them fawning tours. I don't know where they get that fawning tours business, but these are history tours.
Nah, don't worry about it. You're doing great.
I'm not worried about it.
No, I know you're not. I just look at the marvel. It's 100 years ago they were doing this, okay?
Yeah. Well, you can see the electric cables running along the upper part of the walls there, and then up and over the dome.
Mm-hmm. The forming and the pumping of the concrete and the setting of it, it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
100
and
years
I don't
ago.
Know about this particular bunker, but the ones we were in down in Austria, by Eben's Lake, there was a huge big tunnel complex there too, about 8 tunnels straight into the mountain parallel to each other, and then a long tunnel behind them connecting them all together. And these were factories.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one open now, I think. But the concrete part of the tunnel is not up against the hole in the wall. In other words, you know, they dug this hole in the wall for the tunnel, okay, and then they built the concrete. But there's a gap between the mountain, you know, a few inches gap between the mountain and the concrete tunnel. And that's because if the concrete tunnel was part, you know, set up against the mountain, if the mountain shifts, the tunnel cracks.
Yeah.
There's a train in there, too, but we were not able to get to the tunnel with the train. One of the tunnels is open for us to go into, and then there's a screened, like a window gate at the end of that particular tunnel. And, you know, if we promise not to get killed in there, they open the grate for us, and we can go into the unfinished part of the tunnel. But unfortunately, the tunnel that has the train in it is blocked off. I mean,
well, that's a train that's full of gold and Europe's greatest art treasures, isn't it?
Right. Don't forget, Hitler's body is on that train.
That's right. All right.
But no, it was a train that was just bringing truck and tank brake parts in. They built brakes for the trucks and tanks in there.
Well, that's what they were doing at Owl Mountain. Owl Mountain was a complex, a major manufacturing underground
Owl
city.
Owl Mountain, yeah, they built all sorts of stuff there. It was huge, massive. But this was a small one down in Abensee. And they've got pictures right there of the paperwork that the people had. And if a person had a certain skill levels, they got paid. I mean, these were prisoners. Mm-hmm. But if they had certain skill levels, they got paid more. And they got special passes. They got better food than a guy who was just a grunt. And, you know, engineers, they couldn't leave, but they got paid for their work.
Number 20, our last picture. One more look at another tunnel leading to somewhere else on this 60-kilometer underground complex in Poland.
Yeah.
It's just really extraordinary.
And again, you see the power cables going down the right side of the tunnel.
All of those black square or rectangular holes on the side are probably ventilation.
I'm quite certain that's what it is.
Had enormous fans somewhere blowing the air through.
Yeah. Yep. So
but just imagine what they have now, Admiral.
Yeah.
Seriously. It must be just overwhelming. The technology has been.
And people who come along, another Harry and Jeff, in 100 years from now, will be looking into the new tunnels that are here today that we don't know about, and they'll be saying, geez, I wonder what's going on now.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I have read a number of accounts of people involved in drilling underground tunnels, contemporary tunnels, running into tunnels that aren't supposed to be there, old.
Yeah.
So we've been here before. We've done this before.
Yeah, no matter what we know, there's a lot more that we don't know.
Well,
you mean our government lies to us?
Ah, come on. What government? We have no government.
Yeah,
it's gone.
No, that's true.
It's
the new world order, and we got to stop it.
Yeah. Well, if we sign this World Health Organization, you know about the World Health Organization treaty, which will give up all the signatories their right to make their decisions about health, pandemics, plandemics, and all the rest of it. That is not only unconstitutional for this country, but it is it's obviously stepping right straight forward into the jaws of world dictatorship.
Sure.
What'll be
and
left
old
of
Brandon
it?
Is ready to sign the to sign that treaty and put the United States under the control of the WHO, World Health Organization, which I was watching Fox News earlier tonight, and the newscaster referred to the World Health Order Organization as a discredited, I forget his exact words, but it's a pack of liars, and they are.
Well, the head guy is a terrorist, Tedros. He's known to work with terrorist groups.
What a surprise.
Come on. When they take charge or control in any way, shape, or form, it'll be ultimately Gates, Fauci, maybe even Musk, and people we'll never know the names of.
Exactly. That's the problem. How do you...
Exact retribution from people you don't know their names
right.
or
how
can't
do you
identify.
Attack, how do you attack people you can't identify, don't know where they are, etc.?
Now, so, you can see their flunkies, their lackeys like Obama and...
Right. And now
Lindsey
there's this
Graham.
Big trial. One of Hillary Clinton's attorneys is apparently going to go to prison. He's going to take the fall for her. It's always the second or third rung on the ladder that gets nailed. The guys at the top, they're Teflon.
Well, they own the game.
Yeah.
They run the show.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. So we've taken you... Oh, go ahead, Harry.
I was going to say, but, you know, where are you going to move to get away from it? If I still had my sailboat, thanks to Obongo. If I still had my big sailboat, I would take off if push came to shove, put my family on the boat and go sail the Caribbean. Nobody even knows it's there. Them governments are so small, nobody cares about them.
Right. Okay, I think we are out of time. Wrap it up real quick for us here.
This has been an interesting trip through the tunnels. They've got tunnels all through Europe, and we travel there. We go to these tunnels. We'll be going again next year, assuming they don't lock us down again. So go on photo 13, and you'll get some information about our tunnels. Anything you want to know, just send us an email for information. We'll send it back to you. The email is listed there on photo 13.
I'm thinking also that perhaps photo 20 at the end, it's got another one of those cross pieces, and I think it's bricked up too. I think that's another sealed off portion of this mysterious underground city
could
that
very
began
well
to be constructed in the 20s. It's amazing.
Okay, well, I'm getting emails from your people already.
Very good.
Yeah, and all you folks sending in emails, please be patient. I'll answer them tomorrow morning. I'm going to walk the dog, and then I'm going to bed.
All right, you go.
I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, and it's now 11.
Stare at the inside of your eyelids, as you like to say. Okay.
You betcha.
Check
for light leaks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Good night.
Admiral Harry Cooper, Shark Hunters. Without question, the most unique, historically oriented organization that I have ever heard of. We will be back with Hour 3 and Erica coming up next.